So there came a time in 2008 when both my dog and my marriage were 9 years old. I was living in D.C. at the time on Capitol Hill, and I loved that neighborhood, and I loved the city, and I had an amazing job, and I met a man, and I grew up in a very tumultuous, violent household, and I was looking for a good guy, and I met a good guy, and he was in a job search, and he wanted to move to Ithaca, New York, quite different from Washington, D.C. And I moved with him to Ithaca, New York, 30,000 people, snow on the ground, 8 months a year. Cornell University has the highest suicide rate of all the Ivy League colleges. It's very outdoorsy, and I was very outdoorsy at the time, and I moved with him, thinking, this is what I want to do. This is what I should be doing. And to counter my loneliness, we went to the SPCA up there, and we adopted a dog. And I figured when I went to the SPCA, I would be choosing from mutts, and they had a Labrador Retriever, a black lab. And I thought, I know what I'm getting with a lab. So predictable. They're bred to retrieve, they're bred to come back to you, they're bred to carry things in their mouth, they're bred to be loyal, they're very good family dogs, right? Who doesn't know what a lab is about? So I'm living in Ithaca, I'm working from home, I'm very isolated, and like many other stories you've heard tonight, this dog was my companion. This is who I spent most of my time with. We hiked in snow. He swam in the lake when there was ice on the lake. He was an amazing dog, and he did not meet those expectations. We didn't know when we adopted him. He was a little bit blind, and he was going blind. And he had, you know, he had a personality. I would take him out hiking, and I would call him back to me, and he'd be like, I do what I want. Okay, great. So we went all the time to this unofficial off-leash park at the south end of Cayuga Lake, the longest Finger Lake in the Finger Lakes region. And some of the ways he defied my expectations were there were all these Canada geese there all the time. And one day we got there, I went there to run him and get him his exercise. And, you know, it was like 10 degrees outside. And there were no Canada geese there, but something who had been there before us had mauled a goose. And there was on the ground a pair of wings still connected to the vertebrae in the middle. And Orson, that was my dog's name, Orson. So let me just give you a pause here. I would walk my dog. I would walk my dog, and I would say, Orson, and people would say, oh, did you name him? Oh, you know, Rosebud, Orson Welles. No, do you know Mork and Mindy, the TV show? I was such a huge fan of Robin Williams, and I loved the way that he would call back to his fatuous alien boss. I loved to see the nodding, and he would go, Mork calling Orson, come in, Orson. It was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard, and that's what I named my dog. So we're at the park, and he's running away from me to something disgusting lying on the ground, and I'm calling, come back, Orson, come, Orson, come. Absolutely not. He picks up the wings and the vertebrae. Orson, drop it! Nope. He gets the vertebrae in his mouth, and there's wings on either side. And he takes off. And these things are flapping. They are flapping. Canada goose wings have a very wide wingspan. This dog had so much joy in him. So much joy, and I loved it. He had all the expressions of joy that I didn't have at the time. There was one day we were at the park on the edge of the lake, and he and my friend's dog, we called her his girlfriend, they were over a rise on the edge of the lake, and we couldn't really see what the dogs were doing, but we knew they were back there running. And all of a sudden, over the rise, I see my dog's black snout. It was very snowy. So dog's black snout with an animal flying out of his snout, a very large one. And I say to my friend, what animal do we think that is that just came out of his mouth? Oh, that's a muskrat. So we had all these adventures together. And then there came a time when my husband in Ithaca wanted a new job. And we thought, let's move back to D.C. We love D.C. I would love to live on Capitol Hill with a dog in the late 90s. We could not afford that. And he ended up getting a job offer in Baltimore. And we thought, oh, it's just the same. We'll be in D.C. all the time. All the time. It's so close. We'll commute. And none of that happened. And I have to thank him. I'm so thankful because I fell in love with Baltimore. Thank you. Yes, fell in love with Baltimore. Moved here with that husband and that dog. And I was working from home and I drove my dog all the time, 5 days a week. I said to myself, when I move to a new city, I'm going to go explore. Drove my dog in the back of my Subaru. All the time, all around the city, you know, let's go explore Pimlico, let's go explore Roland Park, let's go explore Arbutus, whatever. And I took him to Annapolis Dog Beach, and I took him out to Robert E. Lee when it was still called that, before it was a legal dog park, and he was going blind, and I taught him how to find things that I threw for him with verbal commands. Keep going left, 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 left. Keep going straight, straight, straight. Keep going right, right. So, I was growing very lonely in my marriage. I'm sure you will not be surprised to hear. And we just had a basic incompatibility. There was no big drama. We just didn't communicate. We didn't talk about anything deep. We just talked about events and people. Nothing really meaningful. And I was getting lonelier, and we were in marriage counseling. And then Orson developed bone cancer, which is very painful cancer. And he was a black dog, and they shaved him, and he had a white tattoo like a bullseye, like a target, and that's where they gave him radiation once a week. They call it palliative radiation. Palliative radiation is the way that you avoid the inevitable. It kills off the most painful cells in your bones until you can accept what is going to happen. But there is no staving off cancer. You cannot put off cancer. You can put off divorce. You cannot put off cancer. So I started planning the best dog day ever for Orson. And we drove down Route 2 and got him Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets and drove him to the Annapolis Dog Beach where he swam until he didn't want to anymore. And then we brought him back home to our house in Hamilton and cooked him a steak. Patrick cooked him a steak on the grill, and we were not at all concerned about upsetting his stomach because that afternoon our vet was coming to the house. And she came to the house, and she helped us let him go. And I highly recommend that, by the way, at home. So we let him go, and what I did not plan for was having to carry my lifeless 80-pound dog's body with a husband that I did not want to be with anymore into the car across the Baltimore streets, as bumpy as they are, over to Eastern Animal Hospital and calling somebody inside. And it was beautiful and terrible, and I wouldn't do it any other way. And it was also, I knew, the last hard thing I could do with my husband. I did not want to be with him anymore. And I had pulled out a post-it note just like this one that I had been rehearsing a conversation, writing down the bullet points of what I wanted to say to him. And 4 days after, we took Orson to Eastern Animal Hospital. We had our marriage counseling appointment, and I said, I feel very strongly we should not be married anymore, and I don't want to be married to you anymore. He was initially very angry, and then 48 hours later, he said, thank you. You had the courage to do what I could not do. And so that dog helped us understand what needed to be done. Thank you.